الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله جعل لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا وجعل لكم من أزواجكم بنين وحفدة ورزقكم من الطيبات صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected friends, brothers and elders in Islam, the ayat which I have recited in the khutbah is an ayat which Allah Rabbul Izzat speaks about the invaluable bounties of life, the special invaluable bounties that Allah Rabbul Izzat had blessed insan with. Allah speaks about these bounties in this verse. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا Allah granted you from your own selves spouses, from your own species, from the species of man, from the species of the humankind. Allah Rabbul Izzat granted you spouses. وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَدًا And from your spouses, Allah Rabbul Izzat granted you sons, grandsons, daughters, granddaughters. Allah granted you offspring. وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ And Allah Rabbul Izzat blessed you, granted you from the wholesome halal sustenance of life. When a person looks at this life, then there are many, many pleasures that Allah created for the comfort of man's heart. But among the greatest sources of comfort are pious offspring. So we can perhaps categorize pious offspring where a person is granted children who are the coolness of his eyes, who are honorable in his sight, who are always respectful towards the parents, very obliging, very promising, very loving and caring towards the parents. And this is among the greatest things that this world has to offer in terms of the ni'mats of this world. But at the same time, just as we understand that these are ni'mats of Allah, offspring, having pious offspring, children, very great favor, ni'mat of Allah, Rabbul Izzat upon. At the same time, we should understand that it is also an amanat. It is also a trust that Allah has put in our hands, for which we are going to be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. So in other words, that this favor Allah has granted us, it has two dimensions to it. So, and it's an amanat also. Some person gives you the car and they say that I'm going for Umrah. I allow you to use this car, the benefit of this car, I will leave it with you. So till I return from Umrah, the car is yours, but take care of the car. So the benefit of this car, a person will enjoy, it's a ni'mat also. But he also understands that this is not my car, it is this car of so and so, that Allah Rabbul Izzat has granted me this favor via so and so person. And I should fulfill the haq of this amanat in dealing with this car. So the children that Allah has granted us, boys, girls, offspring, a very, very great favor and ni'mat of Allah, that they will bring comfort to the heart of the parents, When the parents grow old and they will be there to serve them, to fend for them, to take care of them. When the parents are young also, they will be there around to bring happiness and solace to the hearts of the parents. But at the same time, this is a very great ni'mat of Allah and great amanat placed in our hands, for which we're going to be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. On an occasion, the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they addressed the Nabi of Allah and they said, "O Nabi of Allah, we all know the hukuk, the rights of parents upon children." The Nabi of Allah stressed and emphasized the rights of parents upon children. So the Sahaba said, "We know this, you know. Ridallah fi ridal walid, sakhatullah fi sakhatil walid." That the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of the parents. The displeasure of Allah lies in the displeasure of the parents. You displease your parents, Allah is going to be displeased with you. You please your parents, Allah will be pleased. So, O Nabi of Allah, many, many hukuk and rights of parents you have already explained to us that are upon the children. But we would like to know, what are the rights of the children upon the parents? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the rights that the children have over the parents, that the parents owe them these rights, is that they, when they are born, they give them a good Islamic name, and they instill with them good Islamic values and morals, giving them an Islamic upbringing. In other words, when you gave this child direction to Allah, you connected him with Allah, you connected him with Akhirat, that this is the greatest favor you have done upon him. And not just a favor you have done upon him, it is his right that you owe him. You owe him this right. And you're going to be questioned on the day of Qiyamah, did you treat him according to how Allah wanted you to treat him? Did you fulfill his rights? So this is a giving him an Islamic name, Islamic upbringing. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Ma nahala walidun waladan afdala min adabin hasan." That no parent can grant his child a greater gift than good Islamic morals and values. Teaching him akhlaq, teaching good character, teaching him the Islamic way of life, how he's supposed to fulfill the hukuk he owes to Allah, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his family, parents, his other family members, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how to live his life in this world. This is that now that Nabi alayhi sallam says, if the father passes on this to his child, if the mother passes this on to the child, then indeed there is no favor, there is no ni'mat that the parents can offer to their children greater than this favor. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Akrimu awladakum," honor your children. You know, we expect the children to honor us also. Always, our children, you know, they must look at us with respect. You know. They must know we are the parents, will exist. But the Nabi of Allah in this hadith is explaining, "Akrimu awladakum," you honor your children. You treat them with love, with kindness, with dignity and honor. وَأَحْسِنُوا أَدَبَهُمْ. And when you're going to treat them discipline, when you're going to treat them Islamic morals and values, when you're going to give them an Islamic upbringing, do it in the best way. Do it in the best way. That when the child is growing up, the child must have his father, his mother as everything to him in life. He doesn't look for solace anywhere else. When he has a problem, immediately he knows that where he should turn to. My father is there, my mother is there. Immediately he knows that's a safe haven, I'll come to them. My problems will be removed. So he has this. We find in the lives of Sahaba, we notice this quality among the salient qualities of Sahaba. That they were very, very greatly concerned about the upbringing of their children, how they spoke to them with a lot of love and respect, how they connected them to deen, how they advised them. You find all these qualities in the books of hadith. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is narrating this hadith. He says that I was a young lad, I was a young boy. My father was worried about my upbringing. So my father told me, "Oh my son, I want you to spend the night with Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want you to spend the night with Nabi alayhi wa sallam, so that you see how he performs his tahajjud salah. You learn the tahajjud of the Nabi of Allah." So when Rasulullah ﷺ spent the night at the home of Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas, his respected aunt, which was the wife of Nabi Sami's aunt, so he didn't need to make parda with her, his mother's sister. So he could spend the night. So then he had taken permission from Rasulullah SAW, can I spend the night with you? And then he spends the night with Rasulullah SAW. When the Nabi of Allah is awakening for tahajjud salah, Nabi SAW wakes him up. When Nabi SAW goes to sleep, Nabi SAW, the home was very small. Nabi SAW put the pillow, Nabi SAW slept at one side of the pillow and allowed him to sleep next to Rasulullah SAW. And the respected wife of Nabi of Allah was on the other side of the room. And here he's a young boy, he's a young lad, young child. Nabi SAW allowed him to sleep next to the Rasul of Allah. There at a time of tahajjud salah, Nabi al-Islam wakes him up with a lot of affection and love. Nabi SAW makes the wuzu, stands up on the tahajjud salah. Abdullah bin Abbas, small child, he wakes up, he's making that wuzu, and then he's standing next to Rasulullah. Later on, he's narrating the hadith, that how the Nabi of Allah performed the tahajjud salah. This is the amount of rakats, this is how he did it. And we find that this is found in the books of hadith now extensively. And this knowledge is being passed to the world over centuries till the day of Qiyamah. So he remembers that this is the night of Rasulullah. As though the knowledge of Muhammad's night, he passes on to the Ummah. He became an asset to Islam. We all want our children also to be assets to Islam, to deen, the Ummah. And on the day of Qiyamah, when we come before Allah, that child can be an honor for us on the day of Qiyamah. Why we passed on deen to him on the day of Qiyamah, we see this asset, we see this investment now giving us that returns. Imagine a person, he brought up his child, he only taught the child how to make money. He sent his child to university, he sent his child to whatever other type of worldly education that the world could offer, but he didn't connect the child to Allah. And then when the man grew old, then his child also forgets about him, because you taught the child dunya, you didn't teach him akhirat. You taught him Allah. If you taught him Allah, he would have been there for you. So this is now, it's a security for us in this world. It's a security for us in akhirat also. It's a security for us in qabr also. We want that. What's that security? What's that investment? The Nabi alayhi salam is showing us, this is the greatest investment of a person, his pious offspring. Provided that he invests right, correctly with them. In one of these, Nabi sallallahu also mentioned, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَطَعَنُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. When a person leaves this world, his eyes closes, then all the actions that he was able to do in life to bring him rewards in akhirat, all those accounts cease and close down. Everything is closed. Except the three accounts that still remain open. And at that time, a person will be in the grave, will be desirous that people can read and send for me. I can't benefit myself if only somebody else can help me and benefit me. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned sadaqatun jariya. A person did some charitable work, some donation he gave to some Islamic organization. He built a well, he distributed some Qurans, he built an inn for musafirs, or maybe for the poor, the needy, he did something. So as long as that water will be drawn out from that well, people will drink from it, then the rewards will continue. As long as now that Quran Majid that he gave as sadaqah, as waqf to the masajid, to the madaris, to people recite from this, the rewards will be increasing. وَإِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ. If he taught someone deen, then as long as his students in the world will continue practicing on that ilm, if they pass it on, that accounts will continue in his favor also. He will continue to receive. And the third thing Nabi Ali Sam mentioned, وَوَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُوا لَهُ. If he left a pious child, pious offspring that remember him, make dua for him, continue the good legacy that he left behind, then this now will be continued to receive from that account. In one of these, Rabbi Surah also mentioned the best things that a person can leave in this world before leaving this world are these three things. The best things. So respected friends, it's very, very important. Last week, Murana Jiva spoke about that this investment of pious children, sending them to the maktab, to the madrasa, not being only concerned about the secular education, it's so important. Today, our priorities have gone mixed up. Today we reversed everything. We regard now worldly education more important than dini education. Whereas worldly education is definitely important, but as compared to dini education, it's like 1 to 99. This is more important, 99 to 100, than this is 1 to 1 to 2. This what I'm mentioning, a person won't appreciate now. When his eyes will close from this dunya and he goes in the qabr, then he say, hey, you know what that Mulana told was right, you know. But it'll be too late for tears at that time. This is the time where a person's eyes need to open. But you should understand and recognize and realize, if you take the child and you put the child in a non-Muslim school, you must know what you have to sacrifice, to lose. You got a lot you're taking that impressionable heart and child of that child, and you're putting him in that place. Every day is around kufr and shirk, people of kufr and shirk. You know, it's something that the person is risking. It's a very, very great risk that now is putting this child, the iman of the child is in jeopardy. You don't know what can happen. You don't know what can, you know, if a person got 10 million, just give an example, they got 10 million. How we look after that money? He knows the value of the 10 million. Say, Mulana, 10 million. Whole life effort. It took me a long time to accumulate this money. It took a long, many, many years. This is my capital. You're asking me just to give it to so-and-so person. You know, it's trustworthy. Inshallah, he'll change it to dollars, everything. You know, you're going overseas. You need the money. I can't just give it to so-and-so to pass that. But I'll go myself. And I need to know that who I'm going to be dealing with. This person is a reputable organization, is a backdoor person. Hey, you know, I can't just give that money. Mulana, it's money here. Allahu Akbar. This is iman here. Taking the child, you put the child there in that non-Muslim co-ed school, that boys and girls together, you're risking the iman. Yeah, you're risking the 10 million, small money. 10 million, wallahi, is small money compared to iman. If the 10 million went, iman got saved, alhamdulillah, iman bachaye. One person, you know, he was crying. This man was really, really in tears. I heard it from the horse's mouth. So just because of dunya, he traveled from South Africa to another country. I won't take the name of the country. Just for business prospects, just for better worldly gains. You know, the country is more secure in this country. You know, the better business prospects also. And there, he didn't look at the dini aspect. He enrolled his children in the schools. There everything was free. You can't even make a noise. You can't even scold your children if they do anything wrong. And there his wife gets connected. When he was out on business, his wife gets... She falls in love with a white person there. And there his nikah was on rocks. The next thing you know it, his nikah was broken. She ran away with that one. Her deen also was destroyed. He puts a claim, whatever he did to threaten her, half of the wealth was on her name. She took that money also and went. And then she puts him in jail also. And then his children also got married here, got married there. He lost his children. So the man was crying. He was crying and says, you know, for dunya, I did everything for dunya. This is the returns I got. He says, fortunately, alhamdulillah, I got connected with the jamaat in that country. I realized, you know, I mean, problems here. So I said, what to do? I have to salvage something. So I said, no, alhamdulillah, somebody gave me some dini nasihat. I joined the jamaat people. I said, alhamdulillah, after I realized, I told him, thank Allah, you didn't realize when your eyes was closed in the grave. You realize you're still in dunya. You realize that you could make tawbah. He said, yeah, no, alhamdulillah, I was kind. He said, but now, this is the price I have to pay. I have to pay a price here. One person, sends his daughter to university. And then, you know, she comes with a non-Muslim, you know, Hindu, or whatever. Bring the police. That now, I changed my religion, and you have no rights. I'm already over 18, and I want to get married to him, and that's it. So the man is crying now. So he phoned the Mufti Sahab. The Mufti Sahab said, "See, when you are enrolling her in that school or that university, you were putting her. Remember, I told you properly, don't put her there. You are not fulfilling the haqq of this child in dealing with the child, the rights that Allah had put upon you to deal. You didn't fulfill. You put in this child." Just for money reason, you put in a child. I told you that time. Now you're crying. You know why you're crying? You're crying for yourself. You're not crying for Allah. This tears also, you're not sincere. Because why? Because, hey, what society will say? What will people say out there? My child became a Hindu. My daughter, so you actually, he cries also, this crying. You're not sincere. Allahu Akbar. So brothers, you know, if some person put their children in university and they came out, you know, bach gaye, they must make istighfar and tawbah for the wrong that they were involved in there. You know, say, no, alhamdulillah, mine is alright, my children are farikas. No, the wrong is the wrong, the good is the good, the bad is the bad. But Allah, you still have, if something wrong happened there, you'll be caught, you know. Allah Pak does, you don't say, no, alhamdulillah, you know, we came out clean, you know. That on the day of Qiyamah, a person will know. So this is so important that, you know, this upbringing, so the home environment, the first thing, the home environment must be a dini environment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a Mubarak hadith, كُلُّكُمْ رَعِينَ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ أَنْ رَعِيَّةِ. Each one of you is a shepherd. You'll be questioned on the day of Qiyamah regarding your flock. The mother, the father, in the house, what was the amal of the home? The TV was there, the internet was there, the music was there. You must understand this, this home was not the home that Muhammad and Mustafa and the Sahaba will be happy to walk in. Perhaps if Dajjal comes now, he'll be more happy to enter that home, you know. So we all want to know what are the signs of Qiyamah, you know, how close is Mahdi to come, how close Dajjal to come. Don't ask that question. Ask, is my home ready to meet the Mahdi if he has to come? Because if he comes and, you know, we find Dajjal, if he's more comfortable, then it's going to be a major problem. I'll give one small incident and we'll end. One is aspects of parda. So this one person, he was a murid of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi. He says that, you know, I was a young child, I was growing up. So I was in and out of the house of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi. Because I was a child, I was about 9, 10 years. So I didn't need to make parda. I was underage. So he's bringing the water every day from the well. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, when he saw he came out 11, 12, now he says that now he's getting a little big, he needs to make parda. He says, Bacha teri umar kya hai? He said, Bacha teri umar kya hai? So this alim now, one of the seniors of the Tabligh Jamaat movement, he says, when Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi told me this, I picked up. The Hazrat is making ishara, indicating that now you've gone a little big now, you must make parda. He says, from that day onwards, I used to bring the water, I would leave it at the door. I say, Pani a gaya, and I would go away. Parda, you know. How important a parda. Today we don't have parda in our homes, so men, women, everybody sitting on the same table. He says, he's my cousin. Cousin's alright. But the hearts are getting inclined. The brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and then you find that they are kicking up a haram relationship among themselves. So when you disobeyed Allah, Rasulullah Sallam, the Deen of Islam, you say that, no, you know, it's alright, you know, our hearts are clean. So the life won't be clean because really, you're destroying Deen here. So Allah Pak will destroy your life. It's mentioned that this one person, his name was Mukanda. He was a non-Muslim Hindu, the son of a Banya. So he should live in Meerut. So he's giving this incident. He says that I was in the schools of Meerut, a Hindu Banya son. He says, but there were few Muslim children that I joined their company. Now this is an example to give, that if you take the child, a Muslim child, you put him in wrong company, his deen is at risk, he's destroying his deen. But if you take a non-Muslim child and you connect him with a Muslim and the Muslims have deen, then you know this child can become a Muslim also, you know. So we have to understand that good company, the effect, indelible effect it leaves on the heart, on the life, on the amal of the child. So he's saying, this person says, he says that I was in the school and that I kept the company of this friends, his name Mukanda now, he said. And they would always speak about Rasulullah SAW because they had deen in their homes. They were connected to the Tabligh Jamaat also, they had deen in their homes and that. So they would tell me, Rasulullah SAW is like this and that. And the love of Rasulullah SAW entered my heart. This non-Muslim is saying, the love of Rasulullah SAW entered my heart. And I would tell them, tell me more about Rasulullah SAW, about the Nabi, tell me more and more. Until I reached a point that now my night and my day was thinking of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, when I used to go home in the night, I should ponder and should think, and then the love of Islam entered my heart. I said, no, I have to become a Muslim. I have to become a Muslim. So I went to sleep that night making dua to Allah, that, you know, guide me to Islam, show me. He says, day in the dream, he sees that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has come with the Sahaba, the Qafla of Rasulullah, the caravan. And he was in his father's shop in the dream. He said, I was in my father's shop. His father was a banya and he's seeing to the customers. And then when he heard that Nabi Sallam is here, he says, that longing, that yearning, that desire in my heart, the love that I had, I just wanted to leave everything. So I said, I'm leaving. I have to go and see my beloved. So he said, my aunts were there, my relatives were there. He said, no, don't. First finish serving us. He said, no, I have to go. He said, no, quickly finish us. So he began to serve them. And then he became frustrated. So he had that scale where he was using to measure things. So he threw that scale on the ground, he says, then I rushed. When I reached Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Nabi of Allah already turned his back, he was leaving. The Qafla of Sahaba were leaving that town. He says, I just got a glance of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the back. He said, but the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam permeated my heart. He said, there I said, no, I have to accept Islam. He said, then the next day when he came to school, so his teacher was a pandit, was a priest, the Hindu priest. So he's noticing that there was a bit peculiar, very, very strange and peculiar condition on the student. Every day he would be very vibrant, he would be worried about his work, everything. Today he's now sitting in the corner, he's in deep thought. So he called him, he says, Makanda, what's happened to you? Why today you're not paying attention to your work? He says that, no, you know what, I saw this dream about Rasulullah. He gave the whole dream. So this person, he took his slate, he had a slate, he started writing. So the Mukanda says, and of course now later on he became a very great buzruk. He says he was the person who had some knowledge about ilm and nujum. And he wrote there, and then he worked out that he's going to become a Muslim. He started scolding, he said, don't worry about Islam, don't worry about Muhammad, so just go and sit in your work, go do your work there. After a little while he called me again. He said, just tell me the dream again. He heard it again, he started writing things, and again he became upset, he scolded me, he changed me. Worry about your work. Third time he called me again, he asked me the dream, I told him. Third time also he scolded me and he changed me. Then this pandit goes and he tells the parents of this child that this boy is associated with the Muslims. He's going to become a Muslim. So my parents took me out of school. He's in wrong company. He said, the Muslims is in wrong company. They took him out. He locked me up in the house. And then he says, but the love of Islam and Rasulullah was too great. He says, I looked for an opportunity. I escaped. The people told me there's one place called Nizamuddin. And they teach Muslims deen over there. If you can't afford, then they give you also wealth. They give you wealth, food, every arrangement, everything. That time when Ilyas Rahmatullah, his brother Muhammad was stationed there. He said, I went there. I told him I ran away from home. He said, don't worry, you are my son from today. I am your father, I am your mother. He said, that was the end of Hinduism. I grew up as a Muslim, I embraced Islam. When Muhammad passed away, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali came. He says that I remained with Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali. His name was Haji Abdul Rahman. Very, very great wali and buzruk. Allah Pak made over 1,400 people embrace Islam on his hands. He was started becoming Hafiz, 17, 18 paras, Hafiz. He was mustajabud dawat. He should make dua, his dua should get accepted. Whenever Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali had any problems, he should make for dua for the ummah. Haji Abdul Rahman, come. But this is now, when he joined that right company, that right values came, he became an asset to deen and Islam. You find this is what happened. Allah Pak gave that qabuliyat. Allah Ta'ala give me all of a tawfiq wa akhdawan. Alhamdulillah.